It's easy to be critical of the Corinthian church. They had a lot of mistakes. Some of them were outright sins. And yet we get a wonderful education on how we better could do. He says that in this chapter that there was some rich people over in one corner, and they had things pretty fancy. And there were some poor people in the other corner, and they didn't have anything to eat. We don't see it that way here. We'll have a common meal we'll partake of, and it won't be that way. But you know, like everything, oftentimes it's the problem is not even the external things. It's what's going on inside our minds. And the pride that might be there, or the criticism of someone else that might be there. We're starting on a journey tonight. This part of the evening is private. And we don't do it that way. Each one of us is not in our private little confessional booth someplace. But it might be all right if we thought about it that way. You know, there's a lot of things that can attract our attention. The windows are open. It's a pretty day outside. There's little children that are attractive to watch and see. We are conscious of those around us. We're maybe conscious of the time and how much longer do we have to wait before we get on to the next thing. All of those things cross our mind. But you know what ought to be on our mind? We ought to be thinking about how we've been getting on with our sanctification. You know, we all understand that we were sinners and we've been saved by the grace of God and by faith in that grace. And He's justified it. He's taken us out of the miry clay and put our feet upon the solid rock and put a new song in our hearts and a purpose of living and hope for the future. But He wants to conform us to the image of His dear Son. And He's not going to leave us alone until we get there. He's going to convict us if we'll let Him. If we can just let Him have free access to our thoughts and our minds and do a little self-inventory of what, you know, it's been said that where our treasure is, there will be our heart be also. And that's been true in my life. When I was all wrapped up in some big landscape project, that's all I was thinking about. When I was all interested in planting a new orchard and seeing how the trees grow, that's what my heart was wrapped up in. And each one of you has work and jobs and families and things. And if it's not careful, those things begin to obscure our vision of Jesus, and it begins to interfere with our sanctification. He wants us open and clean before Him. And so if you could visualize, think yourself that there was a partition between each one of you, and you were in this dark little place in here, and there was nobody there, we don't have to go through some high priest someplace to confess our sins unto them to ask for forgiveness and absolution. He says we can come boldly to the throne of grace. The veil of the temple is rent in twain. We have complete access into the very throne room of God. But the question is, do we take advantage of that? I don't know how many times it's been that I've been had to deal with some things in my life or some challenges, and I was kind of I like to fix things. I like to plan things. I like to do things. I like to make things happen. And I was wrestling with this thing, and Lorraine says, "Have you prayed about it yet?" And many times I hadn't. So in our little private cubicles right now, we're talking to God. See, we're on a progression tonight. This first part of it is just between me and God. It's not about my neighbor. It's not about how he's doing or anybody else that we see. It's just about me and how I'm getting on with becoming conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. The next step we're going to take, it's going to be, we're going to go a step farther. We're going to reach out in love and humility to our brother that we need so much. And the Lord's given us tangible things here. There's no special holiness in washing somebody's feet. Unless in doing that, it helps us to understand the spiritual principle of love and humility and oneness as a brotherhood, then there's a benefit if we can get that. And then we'll come around the table of the Lord and partake of a meal together. And after we've come through those places and we've recommitted ourselves to God and to one another again, and then we finally come to the Eucharist. Then, one time I was on an airplane flight and as we were visiting with the passenger next to us in the seat, and we got to talking about how we do communion, and he wanted to know how we did it, and I explained that the way we do it's kind of a lengthy process, and I told how it can last over several hours, and when I got all done, he says, "That must be a moving experience. That is beautiful." And I think it is. If we enter into it. The poet said it this way, "No cumbered chamber will the master share, but one swept bare by cleansing fires and humility and prayer. There will he come, yet coming even there, he stands and waits without the door and will no entrance win until the latch be lifted from within." He's standing outside the door of our heart. He wants to make us just like his son. We'll never get there, but we'd like to be closer. Closer and closer to his beloved embrace, we sing sometimes. And well, the brother told us that we want to partake of this, you know, worthily. None of us are worthy to be here except, you know, we have a play on words there sometimes. Sometimes we hear people say, "I'm just a sinner saved by grace," and that's true. But we're also saints. Saints in Christ Jesus. We have every expectation of sometime being out of this world of sin and temptation and stress and trial and being in the presence of our Lord. That's what we're looking for. That's what we're hoping for. And so if you have completed your little self-examination, maybe it's time to pray. Let's get on our knees and do that. O Lord our God, we come to thee. And this time we didn't forget to pray, Lord. Sometimes we do. And really we can't do very much without the influence, without the guidance, with the direction, without the chastening hand of our Lord upon us. Hebrews tells us in the 12th chapter that if you endure chastening your sons, but if you're without, if you won't endure it, then we're maybe not even sons. And we don't, any of us, want to be in that position. Dear Lord, if there have been any carelessness in our life, if there has been any longing after forbidden fruits that we know are not good for the body or for the mind or for the heart, if there has been a little bit of carelessness in the life we have lived, or maybe if there has just been an increasing tendency we find in our place that in our lives that our temper comes quicker than it used to or there should be, or our tendency to be critical and fault-finding or maybe even gossip about somebody else. Oh Lord, we don't want to be that way. That's not our desire to be that way. And so we pray that you would forgive us. And so we come now with the desire that we would only desire the things that please thee. We would only desire the things that are pure and lovely and of good report. and that we might think on those things, that we might have the mind of Christ, who humbled himself and became obedient unto the cross, unto death, even the death of the cross. We pray that thou would bless each brother here and each sister around these tables as we prepare our hearts to move on into the very presence of the Lord as we partake of the emblems of the broken body of our Lord. Pray that thou would lead, guide, and direct us, that thou would increase our expectation and our very hope of heaven and being in thy presence. And in Jesus' name we pray, amen.